You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at IPVanish.com/audio.
Now Roy is a chum when he's on the rum. He's the glue when we spring a leak. And Stu is a mess, he does less and less. And Greg sounded worse each week. Pirate radio with the ship and crew. We got wind in our sails and the sky is blue. There's a devil up our nose, so much work to do. For the Pirate Radio.
The studio really does smell like tequila. Like there's a stickiness and a goop on the floor. It smells like the studio's intoxicated.
You smell like tequila.
Yeah. It was a fun, crazy weekend, and we will do some weekend in review stuff. We're going to be self-absorbed today. We've got a skeletal show, and forgive me, I'm going to slur all over the place here, and it's because Billy is out. He's in the hospital from exhaustion, and Mike died. Mike's dead now, and so we're going to have to recover from that and figure out how to produce the show after that. So people are off today, and we're going to try and do for you some. I am genuinely short-circuited, and so I want to review some of this. There was all sorts of funny stuff that happened this weekend, all sorts of amazing stuff. Honest to God, emotionally, now obviously not physically, but emotionally, there's something about it that felt to me like labor in terms of at the end of that, like we had given birth to something ridiculous. Like we're going to change the game from here, Stugatz. We can take this show on the road with YouTube and we can have that party anywhere. We can make that music anywhere. With our sponsor, we can go out there and do that show like that. Anywhere in the country or the world, really. So it was a hugely exciting day for us.
Can it be less than 24 hours, though? I mean, the show on the road.
I was thinking about doing it like the recreation of the Jerry Lewis telethon, where do it once a year and we do 3 days. We do it across an entire weekend.
Dan.
Or maybe it was 4 days. I think the Jerry Lewis telethon was 3 or 4 days. By that point, we'll have so many employees. It'll be Freedom Festival 2. And the business will be so big because Meadowlark will be making documentaries. We'll keep bringing people in here again and again that we could literally have line shifts. It wouldn't be a 24-hour show. We'd have enough employees that everybody would could be coming in over 3 days for 8 hours.
I like the idea of people hopping over the boards and coming in for us on a line shift. That is fantastic.
Dan, we planned out line shifts for the 24-hour show. It didn't work. Oh, everyone just wanted to be in the room the whole time.
Right. We all ran into the wall. All of us just ran into the same corner of the room and just started shouting at each other.
What do you think? Instead of 3 days a week, we just do 24 hours once every 2 weeks.
Wow.
How about you shut the hell
Stu?
Up?
Stu? No.
Shut the hell
Come
up.
Come on, Stu. Think about it.
You're saying one day. We work one day every 2 weeks on a Friday
for
into a
Saturday?
24
straight hours.
Going to be a Tuesday into a Wednesday?
Whenever you want it. We just got to be the same.
I think I'm in.
But that's because you didn't go to any of the meetings, Stugatz. The meetings.
Meetings.
Well, no, he says that, but we're going to cover some of that human drama in a second as well in the week in review.
Drama.
Stugatz did some things this weekend that created some genuine hostility between he and I. And one of the things that I want to review is that so much of what you were seeing was real because it's crazy, guys. It's crazy what we did. And this is, if you don't understand how this sort of stuff works, I mean, I want to tell you the story from the beginning over the course of today. Like, not just that why I was sobbing in the chair, sobbing. Chaos is around me. Kansas City is talking in Mike's ear for the first time. When Kate put on the headset, Mike's headset, she immediately took it off, stopped talking, paid professional, dead air on the microphone because she was so disoriented by the lightning happening in Mike's head. What was happening in Mike's earphones, I'm not kidding you, Stugatz, replaced the worldwide leader in sports, Eric Rideholm, the creator of PTI and his army of people. All these cameramen that used to be in here for Highly Questionable, all those guys that I had to pay during the pandemic and are now gone, those people were all replaced. We've never worked with most of them, and all of that was happening in Mike's ear, and what he had with him was Tyner and Whittingham in terms of like creating the structure of this over 5 months. He just asked, get me a couple of employees that aren't already here. I'm going to replace the worldwide leader in sports. We're going to throw a party. We're going to birth a baby freedom, and everybody's going to see at the same time. Everyone's going to take notice because the algorithm is going crazy, and people, the sponsors are like, whoa, how do they do this? How do they get these people to care this way? The chat room is going crazy. We could throw money at the chat room, create something, a community of people there who are fighting over stuff and enjoying themselves that's not as toxic as Twitch. It's just you get the show. Monetize that. Now we've got a corporation behind us, like right behind us, wind beneath our wings, which we can run askew of from time to time, doing 24 hours live radio, no commercials, no timeouts, do some drinking as well. See if you can make sure that your judgment doesn't get impaired anywhere.
And Kansas City really took its toll on Mike. He's dead.
Right. Well, there's that, but we don't have time for that is the point. Like, we don't, his death, I'm sorry, but a casualty of baby DraftKings is coming and we're coming for everybody.
Because, my condolences to the Ryan family.
Well, the algorithm went crazy, though, so it doesn't really matter. One body lost, but now freedom is in front of us.
Yeah, my knees are scraped up.
I can't believe I drank that.
We never vetted the Dr. Pepper, and we never vetted what that would do to Stugatz, so he was in the hospital all weekend.
Man,
Kate and Tom are fine, but Stugatz was being attended to. Like, it's bad enough that we lose Mike, but we thought we were going to lose Stugatz too. And I looked up and I'm like, guys, you take my first two guys out on the top day. Like, you're really ruining the show.
I made it, though. I survived. It was a tough weekend.
And thank you for making it.
I had to get my stomach pumped.
Yes, guys, like, it was horrible. We'll get to that experience in a second.
Thank you for your bravery, Stugatz.
Yeah, I mean, it's
got it.
Stugatz, really,
do for charity.
Honestly, you are so ballsy. Mm-hmm. You and Tom, Kate, not so much, but you and Tom, really amazing.
Sneaky, dangerous part of the show. When Ron McGill was carrying the 100-pound boa constrictor, I thought he was going to pass out.
Same. I was concerned. Legit concerned. He was sweating. He was breathing heavy. He did not look comfortable at all.
I mean, always, whenever there are animals on display, I want to know that the person in control is in control. And Ron McGill did eventually get a handle on that owl. But when, for a moment, I figured these creatures all be docile, there wouldn't be any problems, and all of a sudden the owl wants to take flight in the middle of the studio, and I'm actually pleased with how little I reacted. Inside, I was shitting in my pants. That owl was terrifying.
We could have killed an owl on a podcast. We could have had an owl disembowel someone. Again, there are very good reasons, okay, that I have spent the last 5 months reading corporate liability policies and things I have never wanted to have in my life. And we didn't. We did some things. We did some things poorly.
We should have vet the owl. I mean,
yes. Well, yes. And we should have vet the peppers. We did not vet the peppers. How did we not vet the peppers? How did we not vet the peppers?
Are you talking about like an interview process? Where we like put them on a chair? Like, all right, now, how you doing, Pep?
How does one vet a pepper?
I mean, how spicy are you, Pepper? Tell the truth.
We did not vet the peppers.
How many people have you killed?
You know what sucks about that boa is we couldn't even touch it. So if Ron got in big time
Wait,
trouble,
that stinks?
Like, that stinks.
I felt like that was a good part.
No, that's a good bit.
He's saying from a liability standpoint, now the laws, the government laws, we can't have televised that someone else is touching. What I'm saying is this. We're hugely and weirdly irresponsible, and that explains why it is that corporate can hunch over a computer and be like, boss, you're never going to believe it. Look at what the algorithms are showing. The future is here. Young people like this better. $20 million for those dumb Paul brothers. Because YouTube, it kind of matters. The future's changing. Streaming's changing. Like, I want to go through this whole story so people understand. The people who believe in this show, Stugatz, who believe in us, they've created, man, that was Jim Rome and Bob Costas and Dan Patrick and Bob Lee and the top of this game coming and genuflecting on you guys. Do it right. I'll make a fool of myself for you. I will endorse this reckless shit that you guys make. I will curse. I will be Bob Lee. I will eat a pepper. I will cry. I will say, oh, shit. And it'll be a hugely touching human moment that shows you more of Bob Lee than you saw 30 years of him on television. Because what we're trying to make here, what we're trying to bring you, right? Let me take you back through some of the negotiations here before we got to here. Because I really do. I have my remorse in telling people about over the last 4 months, Stugatz, that we would show them sort of the inner workings of how this would play out. But now you're going to see it. It's all going to play out with you honestly in front of you, including a very real moment of tension with our CEO that he's right to care about human beings. This company will care about human beings. He did not want, and this is not about optics or investors or frothing dog culture at barstool of men surrounding a woman. Like, John Skipper was reading to Tom Haberstroh because we didn't, I mean, I know it sounds funny, we didn't vet the Peppers, but we shouldn't have done that. Like, it's nice that we raised that money for charity, and it's great, and it's wonderful that we raised that money for charity, but it was irresponsible. And so we can be free dumb. We could be the free and the dumb. And I want to take you through all the symbolism of it, because it's art. It is art what just happened, where creativity is allowed to live, and you nurture it, and you nurture it, and you will have something that will create the stickiest audience anyone has ever seen in this medium. Like, people do not listen and watch for that long. We'll put out the numbers later. I'm guessing more of you are here than usual just because you haven't seen. You're going to go back and watch that the way that, like, we sell movies over in China because of what you might have missed, because you couldn't have kept up for 24 hours because it's absurd. So we're going to be able to slice and dice that, monetize all of that, and reward the audience for caring about us that way.
I think the average viewer stayed with us for about 46 minutes, which is amazing when you consider the average viewer goes on to YouTube and watches a clip for 2 to 3 minutes.
Yes,
that's amazing.
The average made all the more amazing because they all left from 4 to 5 when you were too lazy on stupidity. So you can... that tension was real, and we will talk about that during the show here today, too.
That was 5 to 6. That's a fine.
The other bit of vetting that we didn't do was YouTube doesn't automatically upload videos that are longer than 12 hours onto its platform. So the other reason why I think a lot of people are here is because a lot of people wanted to interact with this content but couldn't because of YouTube, and we didn't want to set Tony's computer on fire by having him download a 24-hour long video file. But we will, I believe, over the course of this podcast, play back some of the sound, and we'll roll back out a lot of what we did over the weekend.
You just mentioned casually, because this was a hell of a party we threw for you. You mentioned casually, and I want to go over this. I'm happy to see Tony back in that studio. We've had to bring him in because, as I said, Mike is dead.
You and me both.
And Billy's in the hospital. We don't know if Billy's going to make it. As I said, Stugatz recovered quickly, but Billy's in the hospital because this was hard on everybody. And on our first day, we've got a corporate fight in the middle of everything that's happening from a man. Like, I know him. He's an empath. This is my friend. This is a man. He doesn't want to harm us. He is here to help us. And on the first day, we're going to kill ourselves with peppers and then go to halftime. Like, this is I have to explain to something to the people, because I'm trying to show our audience the company being birthed in front of them. This company, some people saw this, right? We had the best offer, Stugatz. We had this offer to do this amazing thing, to be sort of the heir apparent in sports to Howard Stern on Sirius XM with total freedom, allegedly, right? That stuff gets promised on the front end, but allegedly. You better perform, or then corporate interference, or if you succeed too much, corporate interference. And so that looked a little like freedom, but we started thinking about it. It was a good offer. It was like, oh my God, that's flattering. Like, there are all sorts of flattering offers, right? I'm going to tell you about all of this now. I thought I was going to be able to tell you as we did it, but I couldn't for a bunch of sensitivities that aren't important to enumerate here.
But just with the peppers for a second, Dan, I figured that Kate and Tom, who have done such great work eaten peppers, I figured they knew exactly what it is they were doing.
Okay, and look, and so he's trying to protect us from our free and dumb. We're dumb. We do high and low well. Part of the appeal is, oh, that's Mike Schur and Adam McKay over there. They do high and low well. This is a version of The Office. The reason that Mike Schur comes down here on his own dime, because he's like, how does this thing work? How does it exist in corporate America? Never mind corporate America, Disney specifically, Stugatz, because these guys are in our lives now, and they are going to help us. They're going to be around here doing shit because they love our show. The reason these guys became my friends, I've never met Adam McKay, but he helped me through this. This shit was hard the last year in a pandemic trying to start a business, because I'm looking, me and Skipper are both looking. So, like, let me explain to you. I've been telling, like, hinting at this for a while to you, and I see button spaceship crash into a mountain. I've been telling you for a while now, okay? And this part's hard, and we're going to get through all of this as you guys see on the other side of labor what this show can be when actually free. like for real free, like the way my parents wanted me to be free. You guys are so tired of hearing me talk about these things. This shit matters to me. And I couldn't talk during an election year that was horrifying to me at a time in America that's horrifying to me. And then, okay, let's jump into a pandemic. Dan, you're responsible for everybody, all right? Healthcare for the kids. These kids who grew up on your watch, some of whom have never had other real jobs. Are here, they've got, I know Roy.
Roy gets very upset Roy, every you time you say that, man.
I know, Roy. That's
real labor right
Roy,
there.
Roy, what was harder, 24 hours on Saturday or any day you had as a longshoreman?
Any day I had as a longshoreman. There's a prospect of dying, you know, drowning.
Right, Mike is dead, Billy's in the hospital, right. And Stugatz had his stomach pumped. That's not a possibility around here?
Some real hazards this weekend. Some real hazards.
Let's give Roy a Carolina Reaper and see what he says then.
Yeah, let's not do all that again.
Sorry.
Thank you. Terrible suggestion.
Good idea. I like it.
From the new woman.
Well, you can have it.
Oh, old scraping knees over there likes the idea. We'll get to you in a second.
She wanted to do races again today, too. She's on one right now.
Well, let me tell you this. Before I go down this path, okay, of telling this whole story to people, because it's a fascinating story. It is a work of art that we get to now celebrate on the other side of labor. One of the backstories here, and I just want you to marvel at all of this because it's amazing, and there were threads, if you're paying attention, if you get the show, there were threads of this everywhere in those 24 hours of our story. I've always wanted to be a show about a show. I wanted Highly Questionable, which was never the show I wanted it to be a show that made fun of a show. And so to have a bunch of people in the chat arguing about stuff, never knowing what's real and what isn't. Wait a minute, is Dan really arguing with Skipper? Are Mike and Dan really, what is this really happening or is this a bit? Because to me on the cameras in here, it looked like wrestling. I'm through my perspective. I'm looking at John Skipper and he is reading a book on cots to Tom Haberstroh, who is suffering. And I'm smiling to myself because from here, from the creative side, what that looks like to me, and it's funny, it looks like wrestling. That's funny. The CEO, most powerful man in sports for 6 years for Disney, is laying on a cot. Everyone here fears him. He is to be feared and revered. He is a leader, a badass leader. He will chew glass. What he has done for us in the last 4 months, opening the doors at the top of America, like in the biggest rooms. And I'm looking at what's happening in media, and I'm watching all of this, and I'm like, I can't handle this. I can't go from babies and healthcare. I can't do it with just Dugatz. I don't know how to do it. I need to go get my friends for help. I need to go get some assassins. Hey, Skipper, would you leave that multi-billion-dollar job? Yeah, Dan, I'm on my way. So from there, like I'm going to explain to you why I was sobbing in that seat, okay?
Yep.
Because these people came to f-ing help me, man. These people came to help me, to build a business with a heart who cares about this f-ing thing we've built. And the Skipper built this thing. Disney executives, I'm going to tell you a story here. I talked to an engineer one time, and like, I want you guys to understand what happened to us and really understand it and feel it and why Saturday felt so good. Us betting on ourselves and cashing the bet because you came with us. You've heard me cry on this podcast over the last 5 months where I'm explaining to you, thank you for supporting us that way. Because an assassin, a great white shark in business, we've got where others have Rogan and Simmons and Portnoy. We've got what was the world's most powerful, or America's most powerful sports person, making how many billions of dollars for the company that didn't quite want or get or understand or what we do, that didn't quite get the show, because if you're too corporate, how can anybody quite get the show? Don't run in the street. Don't scratch your knees. Don't eat the world's hottest pepper. It's stupid. And don't do it twice.
But they would have been right about that, probably.
And I mean, don't do it twice. Vet the peppers. Vet the peppers. It's fair. Like, it's fair. We don't need to feel like we're hazing our employees to prove that Kate Fagan can be allowed in the club. Hey, Kate, badass. Like you should not have done that. It was stupid. Like, I'm glad you did it, and it was a religious experience, and we're glad you did it, and it was a religious experience. But it's horrifying to think that our company put an employee, chose to. Tom was suffering. Skipper was laying on that cot with him, not but for the funny bit. Skipper was laying on that cot next to him, reading to him because he wanted to distract him because his nervous system had shut down. He was caring about a human being there.
So he had seen someone who had just eaten that pepper, what he was going through, and he didn't want anyone else eating the pepper.
That's correct. Yeah. From a, just a, I mean, like the difference between right and wrong. And so, and I'm going to take you through all of this, because when we do release YouTube, you'll see the most honest media attention you will ever see in your life. You won't know if it's real or not, because we always have an element of professional wrestling around here. And it was a real tension. And the real tension was this. And it's a fascinating tension, because Lord knows, Stugatz, what I spent all my time doing. But in the what was supposed to be my break, I spent talking to our new executives. So I end, all I was trying to do is kick. I'm in the middle of just a bunch of shit, right? A sentence can end us at any time, Stugatz. People don't do this stuff for a reason. Now more than ever, if you do the wrong thing on this high wire act of live, why can't anybody else do this? Why doesn't anyone else do this? Because a lot of shit can go wrong and television isn't like that. Bob Costas and Dan Patrick came and told you that. They're like, no, it's rigid. It's over here. I think Rome reads his show and it's great. He's got writers.
Yeah.
I should have asked him because I would have been. And this thing, this jalopy, this weird thing, how does it exist? Mike Slate wonders, creator of The Office, Parks and Rec.
Mike Schur, excuse me.
Slate's the magazine. Yeah,
What's that?
You got Schur's name wrong, and you got Slate's name wrong, and so it's $500.
Where did
what?
It's the rare double double. I mean,
where did the $20 go that Stugatz put up here for some fine?
I put them in the fine bucket. It's organized by dollar bill.
Of course it is. Okay. Yeah. All right, please, Stugatz, continue. If this gets to be too much, please, because I do want to review the fun parts of this, but I also want to celebrate with the family what it is that we just did, because this was a victory lap, and I want everyone to understand who runs this company, because the fight is and has been historically corporate versus content. And you just heard, if you were watching in the shadows on this show, when Dan Patrick comes out and says, yeah, and at the culture of ESPN, we had an issue with precedent setting, right? Like, I couldn't have my own office or my second television, even though we're making SportsCenter, because their philosophy was, we don't want another Chris Berman. Why wouldn't you want another Chris Berman? Why wouldn't you want 40 Chris Bermans?
You would want that place littered with Chris Bermans.
Because the letters that matter, and the only ones that matter, are E and S and P and N. And they work for Disney. And for a while Skipper was running it, he made more for Disney than anyone's ever made. ESPN was Disney's biggest money-producing vehicle. Disney's biggest money-producing vehicle. And this is what happened there. A whole bunch of people thought that they were responsible for the business model of one of the most amazing brands in the history of the United States, from Bristol, Connecticut, grows from something to nothing and becomes Disney's biggest moneymaker. And as you watch everything that plays out after that, and it's fascinating, it's such a fascinating thing. From if you're just paying attention to business in America, ESPN had this business model is fail-proof, Stugatz. 120 million viewers, highly questionable, was a successful show. We had about 500, because we're all infomercials meant to take you to the live programming. And you see ESPN is now saying, hey, let's just go all live programming. We don't even need these infomercials of all these gas bags talking. Get them out of here. We don't need them. What's the point? Let's just do sports. We just exist for this reason, to get you to there. Highly questionable is doing 500,000 people a day in the middle of the time slot, nationally, making me and my dad nationally famous.
Right.
Giving us huge credibility, making this thing bigger than it's ever been, because now it's on television. Now our producers are getting famous. Like, our producers are becoming characters. And that now it's becoming like the actual Office that lures Mike Schur, where people get upset if you've upset the 19th voice on this show. You know who my favorite character is? Stanley. That's when they knew they had a good show. When somebody who hasn't talked in 5 weeks, people root for him. I got Adam McKay calling me last night saying, you have to have one of your musical, the musical outsourcing you do, you have to have someone do Grumpy Roy, Grumpy, Grumpy Roy. Like, you have to do that for him as so this is the world we're now trafficking in.
I like everyone having a song. This is fantastic.
Yeah. Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think. about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
This is the place where we're existing right now. And forgive me, okay, for hijacking the show on this, but if you want to know what we're doing as a business, to show you the underbelly of 5 months and really the last 10 years, I want to show it all to you today. I've been dying to show it all to you for 5.5 months. So unfortunately, it took Mike dying and Billy still in the hospital, and we don't know if he's going to make it, and Stu Gatz having 2 Dr. Peppers and really being stronger than us all.
Mm-hmm.
We will get to the jokey joke stuff in a second, but if you really get this show, really get it, right? Because there are times I don't even get it. But if you really get it, if you're one of those diehards in that chat that makes this the stickiest thing anyone's ever seen, Jim Rome is coming over and he's genuflecting. He's saying, yeah, boys, this is the new jungle. Can I ride with you? Can I ride with you guys? Yes, I'm here. I'm as excited to be here because I know what you guys did. I know how hard it is to create that kind of sticky. So now, in the other room the other day, we've got corporate just marveling at what the numbers are doing. Like, holy shit, I've never seen anything like this. We made this bet jumping off the worldwide leader in sports. All of us, without a question, as a family, because we knew you would be there to catch us, that you would get the show enough to meet us there. And Saturday was an ass-kicking. Like, DraftKings, and we are here, and it's like, okay, we got you. We can do 24 hours straight. Watch. And all these people are coming over and they're celebrating that with us because all of my friends rushed in to help. My friends, Dan Patrick, everyone was coming in here to help Adam McKay, Mike Schur. So going back on this story, the Disney business model is you've got 120 million viewers.
Subscribers.
And one of the shows, a popular one, mine, is making money off of advertising, even though 119,500,000 of your subscribers aren't watching it. So that's the business model. Then streaming comes, and then the numbers start dropping, and all of a sudden you've got TV executives who are not responsible for all of that. Hey, now fend for yourselves. Now figure out how to create the content model aboard. And so now we're floating through this, and you saw what happened to us. We were succeeding, and we wanted to build this network there. We were trying. All I needed was a little bit of support. I needed to figure out, but that stuff's hard. It's just hard to climb and navigate through. It's at Disney, and this is like they create the family model, cartoon, myth, and one of the great American brands anyone's ever seen. And also all these guys like Schur and The Simpsons and everyone else, Hank Azaria, another one who has helped us greatly. All of these people have known, like they've done jokes and characters in some of our great comedies about the idea of Disney being evil, about making fun of a mouse and all that stuff. I never experienced that. It wasn't like that for me. I was protected by Skipper. I was out here in Miami with everyone else, with my family. Skipper went out of his way to protect me. I'd go see him at a trip somewhere. No one had access to Skipper. In those rooms, Stugatz, at the top of where that business resides, where it's billion-dollar deals all the time, where this is a very small job for Skipper. It's the smallest one he's ever had, but it's going to be the one that he cares about the most because he's caring about people. He believes in people. And what happened, what we belched with our irresponsibility, with the dumb in freedom, what we belched was danger. And it's why you gather. So it's why everyone's around the algorithm, but it's also dangerous because you don't know what's going to happen. We don't know what's going to happen. Hey, are Stugatz actually going to fight? Are they going to fight today? Is it going to be real? Is that real? Wait, is Skipper really mad? Is Skipper really mad? And I don't know. He looks on the cot like he looks like he's in on the bit. To me, I'm in the middle of 24 hours of content. We can do this easily. I'm not nervous about this at all. I'm sobbing, but I'm not nervous because my family's got me. Like, I'm in the middle of what, like, me and Skipper built this shit right here, this little dump right here, this little dump, and everyone wants to be near it. And Skipper built it for me. That dude's my friend. That dude is here to help us.
LeBron also helped in building it.
Correct. Yeah. We had to come down here, my father and I, with construction hats. Yeah. When it looked like LeBron was leaving, because this was supposed to be Miami going into the future with Bitcoin as ESPN Miami, LeBron made it the coolest. Let's change the city. Like, this is, I want everyone to know the whole story because it's beautiful. And it's why I was sobbing in my seat for 10 minutes as we started, because I knew in my soul that my family had me. We were ready. And when I say my family, I say everyone in here, everyone who rushes to my help, everyone who comes in here. Because the executives are going to have to learn. There are going to be some bumps, okay? But they got to learn. They've never been in the machine. What, Stugat? You kidding me? What do you think would have happened if anyone at ESPN or anyone anywhere I've ever worked thundered into our content space, into the TV truck?
Oh, you wouldn't have it, Dan.
No, no. That's... How much would I not have
you it? You would have walked out. It would have been
forever,
the end.
Forever I would have walked out. Yeah. Yep. Forever I would have walked out.
Now, keep in mind, that happened at 790 The Ticket. Program director barged in and said, hey, if you do that, we're going to cut you off the air.
But
you did not have it. You lit him up.
But he was in there with the GM, I think, right? You're saying after I gave that up?
No, I'm saying no.
Are you blaming Stugatz on that? He's just worried that is that Stugatz you're blaming?
No, but I'm saying whenever a program director walked in and they hated this to tell Dan to do something, they knew I was also sitting there and I outruled them. And that was never comfortable for any of the PDs.
Are you trying to take some of the power he's trying to give me?
I think so, yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
go ahead. Continue, yeah. Roy. I don't remember the story you're talking about.
Lynn Weiner. We were playing the song.
Stugatz, it's your gift. Trying to clean everything up, making it messier. You win. Here's $1 million.
Lynn Weiner was the program director, and I believe we were playing the song for a long amount of time. And he came into the studio and said to Mike, hey, listen, you keep on doing this, we're going to cut you off completely off the air. And you lit him up. Like, you set his nipples on fire. You let him up that so badly.
All right, be careful with that. That's very erotic, Roy.
I apologize.
We created quite the visual before. We talked about someone belching fire. What was it that they belched? There was belching on.
I think there was a dump that was belched.
Yeah.
A little dump.
Dan and Skipper were physically constructing a little dump.
Yeah.
That was what happened. Yeah. It was belching danger. That's what happened. It sounded like something from an action movie.
But Skipper was legit concerned and legit upset with us, I felt like.
Well, but and because he's an empath, this is what I want everyone to understand. The sticky thing that they're getting close to, it's real. We're trying to build a corporation with a heart. And Mike Schur and Adam McKay are laughing, coming over here and saying, all right, good luck with that. Corporation with a heart. Like, good luck. Good luck. And we're trying to build it. We're going to have to teach the executives quick. Hey, we're going to end up in some dumpsters by mistake. We didn't vet the peppers. Somebody needs to vet the peppers. But we're the dumb and freedom. And this is why freedom matters to Dan. Now, this is the part of the story. Mike and I have been talking for a while about doing an oral history of this show because of so many of you who have been with us for so long. Because we believe that you would eat that up, because so much of this has been spoof around here. We were at Disney, anti-establishment within the establishment, and it helped us. The walls of the machine helped us fighting the corporate power structure with a wink, because you got the show. And you knew when we were doing, when we were doing 70 straight, who's the 70th best quarterback in the league with Chris Sims, we're making fun of everything around us, that we're always making fun of everything around us. And so you rewarded that. You rewarded something that was a little fake, and yet you found authentic. And I'm sorry, because I know you guys get annoyed with me when I explain the joke, but the joke here matters to me, and I want you to understand why, before we started, on what was the biggest professional day of my life, trying to cash the biggest bet this show has ever made, that we're the future, why I was sobbing, shoulders shaking, sobbing, and Mike, with Kansas City in his ear and with a million different things happen, I'm sobbing. His host could, if Mike didn't know me, if Mike didn't believe in this show enough, like everyone else, to jump with us after being an intern on this show and after just getting into hockey through sports through our show because he wanted to work for the Panthers, and then this became his dream job. Like, hopefully, everyone in this room right now, Meadowlark Media, like me and Skipper, that's what we're doing right now. Can we make everyone's dreams in here come true? Can they make the job that they want to have? You guys design it. We'll figure it out. And can we do it without Chris Cody, showing us his ass crack and falling apart on the street because he shouldn't have
been
running.
That's a feature, not a bug.
What's wrong with that, though?
Disney told us not to do it. Juju is here now. We'll talk with him in a little bit about that Paul fight, or the, I should call it the Mayweather, whatever it was.
Did anyone at Meadowlark object to the races or any other stuff?
No. Okay. It was just, so let me take everybody.
Like, they had to be queasy. I understand why. They haven't been around this show too long. I get it.
So this is the thing, though, Stugat. So they don't know. This is the thing. Like, the optics of this are so interesting because it's the difference between, do you care about the optics doing comedy in 2021 in America when the wrong thing can get you canceled? Do you want to try and do high-end comedy? Not that we're that necessarily, but we're aspiring to it. Like, do you want to actually walk the tightrope on live programming, and do you want to do it without actually getting into trouble? What we did the other, there's a reason that these shows are 3 and 4 hours. It had no commercials. We did to the maximum degree of difficulty on this, and we did it for 24 hours, and you stayed there an inordinate amount of time because we can do it that way. I don't think, and I don't say this with ego, I swear to God, it's confidence and blessing and the love of a family. I don't think anybody else can do that, and I knew we could. Like, when I'm sobbing in that seat, it's because I think I'm at the moment where I'm like, wait a minute, this is going to be media of the future. The sports media in general that has covered this doesn't understand that the move that was just made. Because when a sponsor support is real, this is the only way to birth the conflicts between corporate and creative, to have the kind of support that's real. And I want you guys to understand how this business was built, because it was a plane that was assembled in the sky. I don't know how to do that. I brought a boss man in to figure it out. And he cares about people. And he's not going to have people tortured by peppers. And so that ends up with our CEO in the TV truck while we're broadcasting. But we are forevermore content first. Can we get to the laugh? Where's the laugh? And you saw me. If you watch this closely, when we do put it out, you're going to see it on me. You're going to see on me the way I tried. I needed to get to a commercial. I needed to talk to my CEO. You cannot barge into the room. And he knows that. But he was scared for our employees because he's a caring human being. And we were doing something that was dumb and we were laughing about it. But he'd just been next to Tom weeping with his nervous system shut down. Didn't think we should have done that and wasn't going to let us do the second thing. And go ahead and take a bunch of creatives and tell them you're not allowed in this environment. And in this environment, it's an unfair fight for Skipper. Like, I will not allow anyone in this audience to turn that into anything other than a deeply, deeply caring human being, an empath, realize that we were doing something that was irresponsible, dangerous, and wrong, and he wasn't going to see Kate Fagan or anybody choose it again because we're a bunch of idiots.
But that layer is important. We may not want that layer, but having that layer, specifically him, is important. Otherwise, we never vet the pepper. We just assume that Kate knows what she's doing. We need it.
We did. Yes. But this is correct, and this is what I want people to understand. Disney's not wrong either. They should have kicked us out the door. We were too dangerous. We were this thing that was out of the Bristol bubble. They were always trying to put in people in here. I would not let them. Like, I was a knight. Like, imagine what this all is. It can't be controlled because my friend comes in, a guy who's come to rescue me. He's trying to protect Kate Fagan, and we kick him out with John. We got to get to the joke. We got to get to the audience is here. That algorithm is going crazy because, like, Mina at ESPN trying to go down a zip line as we break the clock and go like 12 minutes too long because we got to get to the joke of where she's the audience gets the payoff because we didn't sell out.
Right.
They get the payoff and we keep it free and we get all of the freedom of that. And please give us a corporation that cares for us in a way that protects us from all the things that make us idiots. Because we need the discipline. You guys, man, for as much support as you guys have given us over the last 5 months, and it has been amazing to sit in that seat and know we were going to succeed. But one of the things you were hitting us with, which felt really unfair and not understanding and not empathetic, as a pandemic is around us and we're doing this show all sorts of different, and you hear on that broadcast, I am given life by having all the people in the room, the human connection. I chose this job because writing is lonely and suffering, and I wanted to laugh with my friends, and I wanted to see what that would birth, because at 30 years old, I'd gotten everything I ever wanted in writing, and I was sad. I was just like, well, this isn't enough. I'm doing it by myself all the time. I'm writing, and everyone applauds when I finish it, but I'm in a room alone. And then I go see the PTI guys, and they're laughing in a back room, and I'm like, I want that. How do I just laugh in a back room, televise it, and I'll just, like, laugh with my friends in a back room? That's more interesting than to anything's on television. You could put Wilbon and Kornheiser on television. They'll be a different version of themselves. Very good, authentic version, but they will be human beings that are on television, as opposed to what the stickiness was of people who came and listened to what we were doing on Saturday and stayed here because it felt more intimate than television. It felt like they were with us. They know the show well enough to be with us. That's what this has birthed. That's what ESPN has birthed for us.
Have we gotten to the story yet?
I'm getting there because it's the oral history of the show. If you guys want to do show, look, I don't, man, I'm really tired of being the straight man and being like the tether where everyone can have their fun.
Oh, Wacky Dan, I love it.
No, but I want to do the show today. But like, this is a real tension, right? As I try to empower, Jamel and Michael, and Skipper tries to empower Jamel and Michael. Like, if you want to do Wacky Show today, we can do it. Like, we can do that at any time.
No, I like where we're headed. I was just asking you a question. Have we gotten to the story yet?
What I'm telling you is this is all going to be long-winded. And if you want the most authentic version of this show, and if you want an oral history of the show, and if you care like the people who actually made it for 24 hours, unlike us, who stopped 11 minutes short because we need structure.
What happened there?
Oh, we don't know how to do this.
Wasn't there supposed to be like a Greg Cody Hard Network Out bit that closed the show?
Yes.
I forgot
created
something.
Imaging.
I completely forgot about that.
That is...
I think we all did.
What I loved about that is, A, it was not actually on purpose. We did all forget about it. We were delirious. Nobody told me how to end the show. They just handed me a microphone, and then Stugatz, I put my arm around Stugatz, and he said, I smell.
Well, you did, and we were 24 hours in.
We weren't 24 hours in, though. That was the point.
23 hours and 48 minutes in.
But this is what I love about our audience.
We owe you 10 minutes.
Can I do the bit my way? So we go 10 minutes short with them. We don't get to the 24 hours. People think it's on purpose. It is not. We need organization, and we were fried, and Mike was dead, and Billy was headed to the hospital, and we didn't know what we were going to do about Tom and Kate. And from within all of that, artistically, within what we're doing, if you really want to know what it is in the building of a company, those 24 hours, from me sobbing at the beginning to us not knowing what to do at the end because we were fried and nobody had told us, that was us arriving at free dumb. That was us birthing the baby and having succeeded and bet on ourselves and bet that all my friends would get down here and help, that all of them would help keep this thing afloat, because after, 2021, Stugatz, after everything that year was, we tried to start a business in a pandemic. That's not the wisest thing. I'm not a CEO. Here you go, Dan. Like, I don't know any. Stugatz, I don't know any. I don't know any of that stuff. I'm not good. That part of my brain doesn't work. Like, I'm not. I don't know what it means for stock to vest. I'm not. I don't want to know that stuff.
But you brought in people who do.
I brought in people who do.
Very qualified people.
Yeah, but here's the thing, though, Stugatz. Because I couldn't do it alone, and because you and I couldn't do it alone, because you and I couldn't figure out how to do, I didn't think. I mean, maybe you think we could have. I needed reinforcements that knew how to make sure Roy's got a second baby coming. That was one of the many things announced. Tony's here. Tony is quietly here. We're super excited.
Soft launch phase for Tony. He apparently has a big reveal that he's not yet done.
Well,
Tony with a big reveal. All right.
So, Tony, I still can't grasp the notion of you being in a soft launch phase.
Right. Why not?
When you work for Metal Arc Media.
Why not?
You're currently appearing on air. Uh-huh. The reveal was, who the hell is Tony, is now a member of the pirate ship.
Correct.
After months of
six
Redditors and tweeters asking, you work for
exact,
us. So people know that you work for us now, and yet there's still a launch? There's still a
correct
reveal to happen?
I don't understand why you don't understand the difference.
Look at this witty over here. Us, we, leading the ship. I like it. No, I'm with it. You're here, but it's just like,
well,
look,
I mean,
at
Mike's
you
dead, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we need him to.
Somebody's
got to
do it, right?
That's why Tony's here. Tony's like, I got you guys.
I heard the bat signal. I saw the bat signal. Came over running, obviously. But I don't understand what you don't get about the soft launch. Like a restaurant, Dan. You've been to fine restaurants, obviously. You know that there's a soft launch for the executives, for the people that are really, important. And then you have the opening for everybody that can go.
But again, right, Tony, there were tens of thousands of people that saw your face on YouTube as Juju Gotti introduced you.
Many, many thousands.
Yeah.
Can we tell people the story? Because I want to tell people this entire story the way that Tony wishes for it to actually be.
Well,
been
Dan,
told.
It's still made happen, though. Hold on. That's the hard launch.
But it's gone. Happen.
It's not happening, Tony.
It's happened.
A double reveal?
Listen, no. All right, Tony, tell them what your idea was, okay? Because I want to tell you the whole Tony story. Chris, can you get the sound of where Tony was indoctrinated in whatever the hazings are around here? It makes it unreasonable, Stu Gatz, because honest to God, the way people like I want you to imagine me during a pandemic, okay? While Tony just knows, I don't know how he knows it, but he just knows, like Amin knew. Well, Dan will get me eventually. Like, we'll just figure out how this, you know, people were wondering why Tony had not come with us, as if he wouldn't. He would have left that day. But there are reasons that sort of stuff happens. And for the moment, it was all understandable. And people were like, where the hell is Tony? Levitard, jump into a pandemic. Worldwide leader in sports. Money everywhere. Woo, throw it out your ass. Hey, where's Tony, asshole? Where's Tony? Why? Who the hell is Tony? This is what I asked. And they're like, where's Tony? So we're going to tell you the story of where Tony's been. Tony, how much of this can you talk about? Honestly, I don't want you to get in any trouble, but I want people to understand. Tony came into our life right here because he was just hanging around one day, and he dared to talk to Bomani. And we got that sound from ESPN in the negotiations, right? Because I thought we were going to play this at some point as part of Tony's grand entrance, because I think the fans would have enjoyed Tony being introduced properly, because we'd finally gotten the guy that they were begging me to get the entire pandemic. Why would they care about Tony so much? Who cares about Tony? Who the hell is Tony? Who the hell is Tony?
Who the hell is Tony?
But our audience cares about Tony.
Yes, that's correct.
In the beautiful poetic justice, Dan, at my time at my former employer, I was on the Levitard beat, I was moved from there to Bomani's show. So all of a sudden, Bomani was relying on me heavily to produce and to make his show happen.
All of a sudden, he knew who the hell Tony was.
All of a sudden, it was very interesting how much he was texting.
Well, it would make sense that from there, Tony would expect, hey, I'm one of Levitard and friends. This is a big announcement, right? There's contract stuff. Maybe you can get Bo. Maybe you can't.
People have been in my mention saying, where the hell is Tony? We want Tony.
No, this is the better part, Chris. They've been in my mentions with, where's Mina? Where's Bomani? Where's Pablo? Hire them all.
They want you to get everyone?
Yes. Where's Dominique? And Dominique's
discounted.
Like, I'm good, I played football. Like, what are you doing? And it's like, get Dominique, get them all. Like, get Kirkshin.
Discounted.
Timmy would be great.
No, but that's what it is. And I'm like, I'm trying. But they're
you know, costs a lot of money.
and get Tony, I'm trying. And so that's what we're building. And so I want you to understand as over the course of this show, because they've told me, and please bear with me on this, okay? I'm short-circuited, okay? I am nobody's victim, but the last 5 months professionally, and I've always been son of exiles, bust my ass. The reason you guys are getting texts and emails at 3:00 in the morning is because this is the most I've ever had to work at a time in my life, Stu Gatz, when I'd like to go be married with the love of my life, who opened all this up and made me brave enough to do it when I didn't want to, because I knew it would be hard. This is the hardest I have ever worked. And it's because I was coming into work every day. Do the show like you've always done in pandemic. People are on Zoom. And also I had this whole other thing of, yeah, I want Tony too. Like he's part of.
Not as bad as I do.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.